Today, I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. That will be our text, Hebrews 12, 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, because you know what we are discussing this month is looking unto Jesus. So I want us to take it from the context of the book of Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus means fixing your eyes or your gaze on Jesus. Some versions say the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. It is to turn your attention away from all others and fixing them only on Jesus Christ. It is to constantly, consistently, and continuously seek to see him, to perceive him, to know him, to experience him more deeply, intimately, increasingly, and then to heed his voice, commands, or instructions as you run the journey of the race of life, your race in life. It is to acknowledge the superiority of Jesus. It is to surrender all, just like a sheep will surrender to the shepherd. Now, to understand this verse or this word, it would be nice to go back to that same chapter, but to read back now from verse 1. Then we will now have a better understanding of why we need to look unto Jesus. So I read from verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him and endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, if you look at looking unto Jesus from the perspective of this book of Hebrews, you will realize that he's talking about our race. Everybody has a race to run. Everybody, we are all running this race. Some people will not get to the end of the race. Some people will not get the crown. But I pray that we will get the crown in the name of Jesus Christ. But it's a race. And you know, when you are running a race, somebody must win. Now, if you look at this scripture, to now have a better understanding, that verse 1 says, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded. Now, what does the cloud of witness mean? Cloud of witnesses, what does it mean? Who can tell us? Please, anybody may want to talk, so let the mic be available anytime. Cloud of witnesses, what does it mean? Cloud of witnesses. Anyway, let me run. But we are going to be talking because it's purely a Bible study, so everybody will talk. You want to say something, sir?
No.
Okay. You see, cloud of witness is a common metaphor for a large number of people. It's a crowd. A cloud of witness. This vast multitude of witnesses are the countless heroes of faith that we found in the chapter before this chapter 12, chapter 11. If you read about the heroes of faith, you will see so many things about them. Everything. So for you to have understanding of looking unto Jesus, it will be nice for you to go back to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews and study. But I will read just a little part of it that will explain everything or in some little way. Hebrews 11, I read from 32 to 35. He said, what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel. These are great men. And the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. That means they don't want to be set free, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, that just summarizes everything about the people of faith. So when you are talking about, oh, look unto Jesus. By the time we continue, we will have better understanding of how it relates to these great people. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, we are surrounded by these great people. Now, what does that mean? If you read and we know their stories in the Bible, you know that everything that they did in faith is still living with us. Because you read about it, it's hanging around. Those are the things that we read and they determine when we want to know about faith, people of faith, and we read about this thing, then we know how to judge how far we have gone. The men of faith. So we are surrounded. Now, note, there's something to note about these people in Hebrews chapter 11. They started out weak. None of them was perfect. They started out weak, but they became strong. How? Through faith. They possessed the kind of faith that disregards the odds, the obstacles, and the oppositions. And so they can say boldly that I am what God says I am. I am what who God says I am. I am what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. You see, as a Christian in this race, there are so many of us that we don't believe that we can do what God says we can do. There are some of us that don't believe that we are what God says we are. God said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the enemy is telling you, the situation is telling you, people that have spoken to you, your life, they are saying you are not good enough. And then you believe that, rather than believing who you are in the Lord. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the enemy will be telling you, it is not possible, you cannot do it. Meanwhile, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. And then you will be agreeing, and you are running the same race like the men of old. You are running the same race, and there's a mark. There's a target. So, in essence, Christians today have great multitude of glorious examples of enduring faith in God. That's what we said in that 11. So the idea of mentioning the cloud of witness is that the believers today should be encouraged and stimulated by their examples of faith. If you look at the Bible and then you are faced with some challenges, and then you look back, you remember somebody who had to wait. You remember Abraham, for instance, who became the father of nations, yet at the age of 80, nothing. And then you will be able to say, some people did it. You can see example. So when people are saying your situation is helpless, is hopeless, you say, no, it is not hopeless, because I can see example of people that waited for so long and they got the promises. Now, to continue with chapter 12 of Hebrews, you know, that verse 1 says we are surrounded by cloud of witness. Multitude. There are many. And we've seen those examples. And I will encourage us to go back home and study 11. Read about them. Check your own life. And see where you stand. You see, just a little digression. When I faced, in my life, there was a particular time that I had a serious issue. I was abroad. I was in the U.S. That very day, before I got to the U.S., my cousin had paid a ticket for us to watch, to go for a cinema. So when I got a call that there was crisis, I went for that. I still went with my family for that. And it was the story of Joseph that they were playing and that they were showing. They were acting. It was a drama. They were acting it. So I sat down there, and it was as if God was just ministering to me. So when I came back and the crisis became so terrible, every stage when I have crisis and things are like, I'll just remember that movie. I'll remember that drama. I'll remember Joseph. I remember what he went through. I remember how God was able to save him, even in crisis. And then I have strength. It kept me going till today. But God orchestrated it that they have paid for it before I even got to the U.S. Maybe I would not have gone. But God used that to minister to me. The same way, if we read the Bible and we go through those things, each of those saints, those cloud of witness, if you go and study about them, there's someone, there will be a particular situation that will take care of what you are going through, which should naturally give you peace to say, God will not abandon me. So that verse 1 further states or explains that for you to end well, like the saints mentioned, there's need to drop all things that will hinder you from running well. Don't forget, the topic is looking unto Jesus. I've not forgotten, but we are getting there. He said, we have surrounded. So we have seen the men of faith, how they operated, how they were able to survive. But he now said, before he said, look unto Jesus, he said that there's a need to drop weight and sins. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So now, over to the congregation now. Let's name some. You know, there are two things there. Weight. And there is sin, right? Weight and sin. So who can give me an example of weight? What you think is a weight could be? Please. I will start to mention him. I will start to point. Because we must answer this one now. Weight. There's a difference between weight. That's why they wrote the two. Weight and sin. That ensnares.
Can I give it to anybody?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. You are smiling. Why are you smiling?
The spirit is one. I was thinking about that.
What? To my understanding, I believe weight is a burden that is heavy in the heart that, you know, can weigh a man down.
Okay.
And why sin is what you go into that brings the weight in. That is
okay.
All I can say.
Okay, thank you very much. Another person? There's somebody there, sir.
I believe weight is our issues, you know, our distraction, things that is not making us to look unto God, to, you know, to bank on the promises, to, you know, because devil has this way of telling you that thing. So you, like, you see this person, now look at that person, look. If you are not careful, you end up like that person. Instead of you looking unto Jesus, looking unto examples in the Bible, you know, distractions. I would say weight is distractions and our issues, you know, us focusing on our issues, you know, wearing our issues, burden, you know, thinking about it all the time and not looking unto God for solution.
So Let somebody just mention, okay, thank you.
Example of weight, fear, doubt, unforgiveness, hopelessness, and sin, lying, stealing. Unforgiveness too is a sin, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody that has a contrary opinion? Or all correct? You know, when I was younger, there's somebody...
This one.
All correct. Okay, thank you.
What is our fears? You know, those things that we are always concerned about. That, will my child do well? Oh, will I get there? Will I get that promotion? Will I get that? Will I pass that exam? Will I get that visa to travel? Oh, will God answer my prayers? Our fears, our anxieties, those are weights that we carry about.
Thank you, ma'am. You are going to answer another question now. You are correct. That weight, how can he ensnare us or stop us from running the race well?
Well, it can ensnare us. It can be like a stumbling block because we are taking our focus away from Jesus. And our focus is now on those things that causes us anxiety. We are no longer focused on Jesus and believing that it can actually, you know, get us to where we really want to go.
Thank you very much, ma'am. So, everybody is correct. Weight, shame. Some people, fear, anxiety, hopelessness, doubt. And the sin, let's just read Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Galatians 3, 5 to 10. It says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracle among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Continue. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Continue. And the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Continue. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Yes? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Right? Okay. Sorry. Now, this is, no, Galatians, yes. Now, this is where I'm going. Everybody has sinned. Everybody. We have run short of the glory of God. And except through Christ, every man will perish in sin. The only one who has come to die for us is Christ. And is the one that has come to redeem us from the curse of the law. So when you talk about sin, lasciviousness, hatred, envy, wickedness, and all of that, you can't be saved from that. Because that's a sin that it will not allow you to get to the promised land. Now, Jesus Christ saved us. He saved us. Now, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an unperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, myself should become disqualified. Now, this is to show us how worthy sin can be. You can preach. You can be a choir leader. You can be an usher. You can be anything. You see, don't forget the topic is looking unto Jesus. And we are getting there. You can be anything. The race of life, if you are not careful, if you allow those sins that easily beset you, those sins that we are asked to drop, the weight and the sin that we are asked to drop, you may run the race just for the fun of it. Like somebody who's just beating the hair. He says, when I preach, I will be disqualified. Others that you preach, you may get it. So it's dangerous to be a sinner. It's dangerous to carry unnecessary weight. The weight, you see, there was a drama group one time acted this weight thing. When you are running and you are carrying so many things around you, you won't be able to run well. So you have to drop them. Fear, anxiety, all of that. But you know, sin is you are actually working against God. That one is no. So, when you are entangled with all these things, you can't get anywhere. So, there's something that verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1 says. It is about endurance. He said to us that race is not just a 100 meter dash. He says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So, you see why some people, some people, they run this race like as if it's 100 meter. The way Bolt. Oh no, I wanted to talk about our girl. Toby Amuson, the way she will run. Bullet. Very fast. There are so many Christians that run like that. When they first accept Christ, everything about them is Christ. So as they journey, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years in the Lord, 15 years in the Lord, 20 years in the Lord, they get cold, they get weary, they get tired. By the time they are 40, 50, if they are not careful, they've lost the mark. They've lost the race. Because when they start, they just assume that it's just a dash. Hey. So, you know, most times when you give your life to Christ and you are asking God for something, it happens. God in his mercy. So by the time you are not supposed to be chewing bones, you still want to be drinking milk. When God is now talking to you, chastising you, dealing with you, you don't want to accept it. You think that, this race should have ended. That's why a lot of Christians don't make it. It's an endurance trek or journey. It's not just something that you just do and you think that it will just end like that. It is, and when you are doing 1,500 meter, you know the way they run it is different from the way they run 100. You must be consistent. Even if you are not running very fast, but you are consistent. That is when today maybe you lie small. Tomorrow you are developed. You don't lie anymore. Because as you come to church, they are teaching you. You start to drop some things. You start to drop and you get better and better and better to a point where God has worked on you. So by the time God has now worked on you, you are not a cruise with the Lord. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 verse 12 says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, to now be able to run the race, you know, we started by saying we are surrounded by a cloud of witness. But we are supposed to drop weight. That cloud of witness was for us to know that it is possible. Because some people, when you get to a particular point, you think that this journey of Christianity, oh, Lejo, Kilode, this temptation is too much. But we have witnessed that it is possible. But it's now saying, for you to run this race well, you must drop some things. We have identified that. Now for us to be able to run it effectively, to be able to drop this, to be able to drop the weight, to be able to walk and at least overcome sin, we now go to chapter 2 and verse 2, which is what we are discussing this month, looking unto Jesus. He now says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, Paul ran his own race and concluded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He ran quite well, but by the time he was ending it, Paul said, I have tried. I did. And of course, go and study his life. You saw a lot of things that he went through for gospel's sake. He went through so much, but he said, I kept the faith. How many of us can say we have kept the faith? Since the day you gave your life to Christ, that you have not looked back. How many of us can do it? Some of us, we are cold today, we are hot tomorrow. We are cold today, we are hot tomorrow. But Paul said, I kept the faith. I kept the faith. He said, look unto Jesus. So why Jesus? Why must you look unto Jesus? He says, he is the author and the finisher of our faith, or the pioneer and the captain of our salvation. Jesus was first to run and successfully finish the race we are called to run. He was the first to endure the cross we are called to bear and endure daily. He was the first to live the life of faith we are called to live. Let's see Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That is Jesus Christ. That is why we can look up to him, the work he did. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 to 9 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So we can see that Jesus Christ is qualified to be looked unto. Number two is, we must fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, lest we become weary. You see that also in that verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. Lest we become weary, fainting, and discouraged in times of trial and tribulation. While your fellow Christian may not understand what you are going through, or may not be available to offer you any help or encouragement when needed, Jesus is ever present and ready to comfort, strengthen, and help you to finish the race successfully. It is wise to turn away from mortal men and fix them only on Christ, who can never forsake or fail you. Don't forget, the Bible said he endured the cross. He had every pain that you are going through, every trial, temptation. In fact, he was tempted. He was tempted of the devil. So when some of us are tempted, we fall. And we say, flesh is weak. Flesh is weak. He had been tempted. He suffered humiliation. Have you suffered humiliation before? He suffered humiliation. The people that he made, his handiwork, they humiliated him. They spat on him. They beat him. How can you imagine that? The maid insulting the maker. Insulted, embarrassed, gouged, yet because of us. So we can look up to him that he can help us to run the race well, to navigate. Hebrew chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered, been tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Can you see why we can look up to him? He's been tempted. He can aid us. He can help us when we are tempted. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we care. I mean, as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted like us, yet without sin. Another thing is that God the Father himself said, he told us about him. He told us in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Says, it's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So, if God could say that is the one he's pleased, his own beloved son, we can actually look up to him and be successful. In essence, Hebrew is explaining to us that Jesus began and finished his race. The race we are in now, he began it and he finished it. How? He never lost sight of where he was headed. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. The end result is in the place of honor, right alongside God. So whenever you are frustrated and feel like quitting, brethren, go over that story over and over again, item by item. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He will give you the strength to finish the race that is marked for you. So how do you look unto Jesus? Quickly. How do you look unto Jesus? Psalm 121 verse 1 to 2 says, lift up my hands to the hill. I will lift up my head, my eyes unto the hill. So you look unto to heaven. Then by crying out to him, Psalm 34 verse 17, says the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. By seeking him earnestly, read Acts 17 verse 27, read Psalm 63 verse 1. By submitting to God, read James chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. When you get home, read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Then by confessing positively, you can read the account of Proverbs 18, 21, Mark 11, 23. So what are the benefits of looking unto Jesus? There's peace of mind. Gives you peace. Exodus 33, verse 14. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Let's read Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Keep in perfect peace. He helps to overcome sin. Romans 8, 5 to 6. Just read that when you get home. So a mind that is fixed as Jesus will not be a conducive place for thoughts of the sin taking root. Number 3, courage in life's battle. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. Then Psalm 34, verse 5. Courage in life's battle. Another one is security in time of peril. Isaiah 43, verse 2. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And so on and so forth. Even when you pass through fire, he will not leave you. So as you journey, as you continue in life, the race of life, a lot of things will come. Attack, discouragement, frustration. Sometimes it is sickness. There's healing in his name. That's why if we look up unto Jesus, we can run this race effectively and overcome. There's fearlessness even in the face of death. Read Psalm 23 verse 4, 27 verse 1 when you get home. There's constant victory in life's battle. Exodus 14 verse 13. Then read Psalm 68 verse 19. There's divine help. Read Isaiah 41 verse 8 to 13. I read verse 13 of that. It says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. So there's divine help. Then he leads you to the truth. It is that truth that will make you to make heaven. Psalm 43 verse 3 says, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. So looking unto Jesus helps us to automatically take our eyes off our problems. Hebrews 12 also states that we won't become weary or give up when we observe the strength of Jesus. The strength Jesus kept during all the challenges of his life on earth. We can use his examples to help us overcome and continue to trust God. Let's look at Jesus' example. John chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, as I begin to round up. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, For whatever he does, the Son also does in the like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than this, that you may marvel. So if Jesus Christ could be looking unto the Father, who are you not to look unto Jesus? The Bible says, he's the author and finisher of it. He said, and Jesus Christ, and God has said, this is my beloved Son. Jesus Christ was looking unto the Father. And it is expected of us to look unto Jesus. You know, many times our reverend will say, follow me as I follow Christ. So if you follow Jesus, who is following God? You won't miss it. You won't miss the direction. John 5:30 says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So if you look unto Jesus, you can be sure that you are doing the will of God. He will help you to do the will of God. So I want to conclude. Genuine Christianity is a life lived in communion with Christ. The living Christ must be the passion and reality of our souls. He must be in possession of all we have. Galatians 2:20 says, for me to live is Christ. Christ alive in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Spend time daily to commune privately and intimately with the Lord Jesus Christ. Delight in the teaching of Christ. Diligently meditate in his words. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily and follow in the footsteps of Christ. You know how it can be easy for you? Be in consonance with the Holy Spirit. Let us rise. At the end, Christ will deliver your imperishable crown to you, saying, well done, faithful servant. Please just look unto God now and pray that you have started a journey. That's why you are here. Some people are there now at the club. Some people are drinking beer. Some are in their offices. But you came to learn at the feet of the Master. Pray that this journey you have started, you will end it well. You will not fall by the wayside in the name of Jesus.